Morgan 3 years after his own penis was amputated due to penile cancer. He's the third man worldwide to have had the experimental surgery performed, and he is now expected, the operation took place earlier this month, 15 hours worth, he's expected to regain normal function, both sexual and urination and the like, in the next few months. Let's talk now to an expert on very complicated surgery like this, Brent Tanner, who joins us. He's a consultant plastic and reconstructive surgeon and a member of the British Association of Plastic Reconstructive and Aesthetic Surgeons. Thank you so much for joining us, Brent.
Hello there.
Hello. Well, tell us first, how complicated is this operation? 15 hours does sound like an awfully long time. Is it a particularly complicated operation as compared to, say, we've had hand transplants, face transplants, many developments in this area? Is this particularly complicated by the nature of the organ being transplanted?
In general, no, but in specifically, yes. In other words, it's trying to get the nerves absolutely in alignment using microsurgery that would be the key to this. So have a think about it. The first thing you do when you have to replant an organ, or transplant in this case, is the urethra, the bit you pee through. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you would lay the donor and the recipient together and you'd stitch that up. Then surrounding the urethra is the corpus cavernosum. And this is a tough, fibrous thing that holds together all the spongy blood vessels that make the penis go erect.
Yeah.
So you then have to stitch that together and make sure there are no leaks. Then the next layer, and that would be fairly firm by now, would be the dorsal artery to the penis. So obviously this is, again, using microsurgery, microscopes, beautifully small stitches, you'd put the arterial supply on. Then you have to do the vein, dorsal vein.
Yeah.
And then you've got the dorsal nerve. And this might be the easy one, because this is just a nice, good, small but definite nerve that gives sensation to the penis.
I have an awful feeling, Brent, there's an awful lot of men just stopped listening at the word small stitches the thought of this. I mean, this thing is, this is a subject. Look, this is actually incredibly significant surgery, isn't it? Because this, and as much as we want to giggle about it and be very puerile and everything, this man lost his penis due to penile cancer. And it's really important that he can, live an ordinary, normal life again.
What surprised me was that they can get erections, because the sensory nerves, the sympathetics, by the time you're on the shaft of the penis, are pretty small. And to me, this must be where the hours took place, in the microdissection of these small nerves to get them going. So basically, vascularizing it isn't a problem. It's all the other bits.
Yeah.
So it is terrific. And I'm sure that's why it took so long.
Why is it taking so long for this surgery to be pioneered? We know the first successful penis transplant was performed in South Africa in 2015, so only last year, and it was on a man. He had complications following a traditional circumcision ceremony, and he later went on to father a child, so we know that worked. But the previously unsuccessful attempt was in 2006, and a Chinese man, he received the very first transplant, and after 2 weeks, as a result of what they called severe psychological problems experienced by him and his wife, they decided to reverse the transplant and have it removed. So,
well, one wonders what the reason was for that, because once when I was training, we did have a man who chopped his own penis off with a garden shears in the hospital, gave it to the nurse to give to his wife. So talk about psychological problems.
Interesting choice of gifts. I think flowers would have done, but...
Yes. So there we go. Now that was re-stitched on, but, in a very crude way, and it didn't survive. However, the man did not want it to survive either, which was quite interesting.
Indeed, and very shocking. But we had the Bobbitt case, didn't we, in the States, where the woman cut off her husband's penis and then drove off and chucked it in a field, and then it was later found. And he then went on to become a porn actor, did he not?
Oh, that's right, and a celebrity. So there we go, then. I'm not sure what's happening in the States at the moment with this fellow.
They're using their powers for good, not evil. But this thing's...
The other good point is immunosuppression. You don't just get this for nothing. It's everything. You've got to take these drugs forever that dampen your immune system, make you more liable for infections, heightens your risk of skin cancers. So right. there's an awful lot of other things that go along with a transplant.
Yeah, this is a major issue. Yeah. But in terms of, you say how you explained how complicated this surgery is. But in terms of, say, you know, we've had hand transplants and face transplants, and those are very much life changing for people, aren't they? Especially people that the face transplants, to actually sort of live a normal life out in public. Now, look, we don't know when we pass someone in the street whether or not you know they've needed this operation or not. But I suppose in people's personal lives, it would make a difference. But is the technology and are the lessons being learned in all of these different surgical developments, are they all sort of helping each other so that every time there is any sort of transplant, this is actually furthering our knowledge and furthering our ability to help people?
You're absolutely right, it is. So finger transplant, for instance, or finger, you know, replantation if they've been amputated by, you know, by an injury, is very complicated too. Fingers can take up to 8 hours each to resuture, but it will be the very same techniques that are pioneered in hand surgery and other surgery that will be used on the penis. I think the urologists have already got round to it and probably now begin to think about this. And the technology is there. And what's nice is now specialities like plastic surgeons like me and urologists are getting together to do these interface surgeries. So it's really very exciting.
I am wondering, though, how much call there is. I can understand hand transplants and the like and how much need there is and people who've been disfigured needing face transplants. But I can't imagine penile transplants. There's a big call for it.
No, I mean, we've always got the jokes, but apart from that, in reality, the downside of the immunosuppression versus the... Well, I mean, if it worked and it was wonderful, maybe, but, you know. and, of course, if you have had a cancer or a bad circumcision, you're a young man, but you have got that immunosuppression. So we do rely on our physicians and researchers so heavily on this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brent Tanner, absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. He's consultant plastic and reconstructive surgeon. And I have to say, of all the guests I thought today that would say talk about a man chopping off his own penis with garden shears and giving it to his wife, I was quite surprised it was Brent. But I would expect that sort of story to come up from Mr. John Holmes, who's snorting into the microphone right
yes,
now.
Yes, I fully expected you to question me about penises.
Well, to be fair, I'm looking through the window to the control room. I think there were four men standing there, sitting and standing there, looking
naked.
At me.
They're,
oh, well, I insist on the entire staff being naked when I'm on air. It's very motivating. But at the moment when Brent said, chopped off with the garden shears, every single one of them sort of jumped up and sort of winced in absolute horror. Talking of people chopping off their penises with garden shears, John, what's coming up in your show?
Well, obviously that live to a soundtrack of Eurovision.
That would be what better telly than radio?
Well, I thought I might have one actually, just to join in with your discussion. But what I get is three more and put them on mine, but end to end. And I figure that was probably the way to go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. On the programme then, we've got a guest. We've got the comedian and actor Tom Price. He's coming in to talk about whatever it is he's plugging at the moment. There will be a Lonely Lunch Club. We have work experience punditry, where someone we don't have to pay comes in to review new
music.
We
like those people. Do we pay the rest of the people here?
I've got no idea.
There's so many people in the control room looking at us right now. Do you pay the hipster bloke, do you?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I mean...
Dave?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, we don't want to... No.